Lord God Almighty and everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we might not fall into sin nor be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord and by the power of the Spirit. Father, we pray for these young men and women who are entering into this significant season, graduating from this stage of their learning, moving into a whole new world, a world of opportunity, almost so much opportunity it can be a little bit paralyzing. But God, we would pray that you would be their rock. You would be the thing that continues to help shape them and mold them, no matter of what maybe the career of a choice that they move into. And God, for those who are getting baptized, thank you for their desire to take this next step. And God, as we gather together this morning, we want to discern as we sing, as we pray, as we give, as we hear from your word, we want to discern what is that next step. What's that next step look like in walking humbly with you? You know, loving mercy to those we do life with, acting justly. And so this morning, God, we're so grateful that you are with us. We just sang that you save. It's not something in the past, but it is something very present today. You're alive and you're at work, and we're so glad you're here with us this morning. We say these things, we pray these things, we do these things for your glory, God, and for the good of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are carrying on in the series Walking with Jesus. And this morning we're looking at walking with Jesus in the uncertainties of life. Now, I'm wondering if you know who said this phrase, all right? So just think about it. If you want to yell it out, that would be cool. If you're brave enough, you go right ahead, okay? Who said this? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger and stand a little taller. Kelly Clarkson wrote the song like that, right? And some of you are like, is it Kelly Clarkson? Did she really? No, she didn't come up with the phrase. My mom and dad did. Right? Didn't your mom and dad? I mean, seriously, it's one of those phrases that we cart out there when, you know, someone's facing a little bit of, here's the deal, Friedrich Nietzsche came up with that sort of phrase, 19th century philosopher, German guy, but it's one of those things that kind of does stick with us. It's with us. Now, this phrase isn't saying that we should like the whatever, right? We don't have to always like the whatever that's coming that hasn't killed us and is going to make us stronger. That's kind of weird, actually, because some of those things are not pleasant. They're hurtful. They're harmful. Watched a TED Talk this past week by Bill Ekstrom entitled, Why Comfort Will Ruin Your Life. That sounds like a phrase for Victoria, right? We are in like the most beautiful part of Canada. The temperature's so moderate. Like we are in la-la land. It's so comfortable here. And Bill is here to tell you that's going to ruin your life. Well, let's think about that a little bit. Bill argues that uncertainty and unpredictability, challenge and hardship are the only environments where we really grow, where there's a sustained sort of progressive growth in who we are. Comfort doesn't do that. The sciences have taught us this for sure. I mean, socially, we understand that. We probably understand that within our careers. You know, psychology would help us to figure that out as well. Comfort will ruin your life. Now, that may be true, but you see, when uncertainty sort of enters our life, we have a choice to make. Because uncertainty is going to enter your life. That's a part of life. That's one thing we know for sure. But you have a choice to make, whether you actually can grow maybe within it or whether you kind of recoil from it. Bill, in his little TED Talk, suggests there's three ways, if you like, that uncertainty enters our lives. And the first one is uncertainty enters life when it's forced upon us. It really has nothing to do with anything we do. It's out of our control. The circumstances of life, whatever it is, I mean, it's happened to us, around us, and it affects us. And it becomes your new reality, at least for a period of time. It's uninvited, right? You didn't ask for this. It could be news from the doctor, or it could be a meeting with your boss. It could be you're graduating, and it's like, oh my goodness, now what? It could be a spouse, or a child, or a close friend. Something has happened, and all of a sudden, the world that was just going so nicely, so serenely, is all of a sudden thrown into uncertainty. It's kind of forced upon us. That's one way that uncertainty enters our life. The second way is that someone helps you. And I use that word, it's the word Bill used, and I want you to understand this. This is kind of an interesting thing and a concept that you might kind of screw your eyes up like some of you are already. I'm seeing that. What do you mean? It means it could be someone like a coach or a mentor or a parent, or maybe it's your direct report at work. This is something that you actually are wanting in your life. You're recognizing that if you just stay the way you are, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you always are. You know, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be able to do what you've always done. Right? Like, these are just, that's the whole comfort thing that'll ruin your life. And you recognize that. And so you're embracing this concept of uncertainty, of chaos. Why? Because you want to grow. These aren't the big tragedies of life, but these are people who you have invited into your life and given permission to push you and to challenge you and to expect more from you. That's another form of uncertainty, entering into things and areas that we don't fully understand. The third way that uncertainty enters your life is by you. You trigger it. You bring uncertainty in your life, whether through your actions, your behaviors, particular seasons in life. Now, this can be both harmful, but also beneficial. Right? This can be actions, sort of patterns or behaviors, maybe some addictive things in your life, and that can be very harmful. Maybe some things you've said or didn't say, places you've went or didn't go. Or it could be recognizing you don't have anyone else in your life that might kind of push you a little bit, but you go, you know what, I just want to grow. And the only way you can grow is in uncertainty, is in sort of those harder places where you're moving into things that are a little uncertain. You just aren't really sure what is next. And so how do we walk with Jesus through these challenges, through this uncertainty of life? You know, what does it look like, if you like? What does it mean to walk with Him in uncertainty? Well, I think it would be good, and I have the mic, so it's going to be good for you, hopefully. If we consider the life of the guy named Paul, he was Saul, became Paul, wrote a number of the letters to churches and early Christians in the first century. He was a former high-ranking religious leader in the Pharisee world. He opposed all things Jesus. He was imprisoning. He was actually creating uncertainty for a lot of people. He was forcing that on a lot of people. He was imprisoning. He was putting people on trial, jailing them, and some even killing them. Well, that all changed one day He was on his way to take down another group of Christians. And God reached down and touched his life. And Paul's life, all of the certainty that he had, all that he knew, was changed in an instant. Paul became, you know, one of the first church planters, going around and sharing what God had done in his life, how God had forgiven him and given him a whole new purpose in life. And I want to share with you some of the things about Paul's life that I remember as a young guy, you know, just a young teenager. These passages inspired me, you know. I clearly wasn't really thinking about what I was reading. As I was understanding, in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 16 through 29, Paul lists off just a whole bunch of experiences he had that demonstrated the uncertainty of his life. He'd been in prison. He had been flogged numerous times. He'd faced death uncountable times. 5 times he had received the 40 lashes minus one, which was by law the most anyone could have. He was stoned. 3 times he had been shipwrecked. He was in danger from bandits and rivers and just the terrain. He knew hunger and thirst and sleep deprivation. He had been left cold and naked at times. Paul knew uncertainty. And yet, he's able to scratch this out on a piece of parchment one day. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, it says, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my peace is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, I am strong. Because in the comfort of life, I will live a ruined life. I will never grow. I'll never be able to trust Christ. I'll never be able to become all that He has called me to do. All that He has called me to be. Now, I don't know about you. I don't normally delight in weakness. Especially as I'm getting older. I got to tell you this. It just goes downhill. All of a sudden, insults. Bring it on, you know. Hardships. See, Paul faced these things. And yet he was able to say that in those, I discovered something greater than I could ever discover without those. The presence of God, the presence of Jesus in my life, and I boast in these things that He might become stronger in my weakness. Now, Paul's like you and I, and he has Mondays, right? Yeah, Mondays. Sometimes they become Tuesdays. In Romans chapter 7, Paul was having a particularly tough time. And it, again, it was one of these passages that I loved reading because it was showing Paul when he was really frustrated. Why? Because all of the things he wanted to do, he said he didn't do. The things he didn't want to do, he ended up doing. What's wrong with me? I'm an idiot. That's what he was saying. I mean, the Spirit is there, but I'm not following it. Why am I doing this? What is wrong with me? And you see, Paul was frustrated. And I find that passage, strangely, a little freeing. When one of our leaders can admit that there are Mondays. And life can be challenging. Life is uncertain. You see, Paul pulled the curtain back, if you like, to his soul, to the struggle, to the uncertainty within his life. That although he could pen those words, that wasn't easy. That was difficult. But he knew that he needed the difficult in order for God to work in him. It's not something we choose, right? But we do face them. We do face uncertainty in our life. You see, walking with Jesus is going to take effort. I mean, just the term walking suggests a bit of effort, right? following. I mean, Paul just said that. He just reminds us of the struggle of that whole thing. I like what Louis Giglio said in his book, The Comeback. The title right there should tell you something about the source or what the book is all about. Louis had some struggle, and he recognizes that we all have struggle, the comeback. And he said in there, trusting God, Jesus, is never passive. Trusting him is never passive. You see, life is going to take swings at us, and it's going to knock us down. Solomon, who knew a lot about getting knocked down, but he welcomed some uncertainty in his life. He triggered it many, many times, but he said these amazing words in Proverbs. Though a righteous man, woman, falls seven times, they rise again. I mean, in the uncertainty of the struggle of following Jesus, following God in their lives, they trip and they stumble and fall, and yet they're able to rise again in those difficult, hard times. And you see, Paul understood that maybe better than most. We recognize that through his story and through his letter to the Roman Christians, those Roman men and women who were becoming Christ followers, who were choosing to follow him. Through this letter, we gain some great insights for us to learn, some things to maybe lean into, to study, maybe to observe, and to put into practice in our lives. Now, with this whole idea that we are going to walk with Jesus in uncertainty, I'm going to give you a little acronym it's the word ACT, A-C-T. And as we face uncertainty, I think there's some things here we can learn from Paul, and we can discover about how to walk with Jesus. The A stands for, we need to assess your situation. You need to assess your situation. What is it that is happening to you? When you find yourself in a world of uncertainty, once the initial shock of whatever it has happened, right? And that's kind of settled down a little bit, we need to assess things. We need to understand a little bit what's going on. See, we need to understand where we are, and we need to be real about that. We need to accept the reality of what is taking place. And that can be very difficult. We need to accept the reality of what's taking place. And here's where we might want to consider the serenity prayer that so many have prayed over hundreds of years. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. We need to assess our situation. We need to know where we're at. We need to understand, did I trigger this? Did I bring it on? Was this kind of forced upon me? Like, what is going on here? What can I control? What can't I control? It's very important for us as we learn to move forward. And Paul in Rome, in his book, Romans chapter 8, this is just after where he is like so frustrated with himself. And in chapter 8, he kind of goes through some things that will help give us some strength in the middle of some of these troubles. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he gives a perspective and some promise. And he says, I consider that hour, he's speaking to them and he's collectively talking, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, there's a couple things there. Did you notice that? Us. Our. Listen, you are not the first person who's going to struggle. We all struggle. We all face uncertainty of various levels and various kinds. Folks, we're in this together. Now, I recognize that we come in on a Sunday morning and we like to kind of just, we're good, right? How's you? Good. Great. Awesome. Yeah, this week, going to be the best, right? You know, we have a hard time. And I'm not saying that you should come in the front door and someone asks you, how are you doing? And just kind of, right? Like, that's not quite what we're talking about. It's not really where we're going. But sometimes we do play the game a little bit. Paul says, no, we're in this. This happens. We face some sufferings. But then he also reminds us that is not the end of the story. There is more to come. Paul often talked about the seen things and the unseen things and how the seen things sometimes cast a shadow on the unseen. And he goes, you got to flip it around because the unseen things are going to win the day. Jesus, God is going to win the day. He's preparing a place for us. It's going to be amazing. You never know what God's going to do. He's at work. We just can't always see it. He gives us some perspective and he offers us a promise of hope in the future. He says in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. Now, I don't completely understand that, but I am so glad for that. Because I don't know about you, but in some of the uncertain positions that I've found myself in, I don't have a clue. I don't know why, I don't know what, I don't know when, and yet I'm supposed to pray, and I'm supposed to be specific, because that's what people tell me, but I don't know. And I find such comfort here, that I don't have to always know, that the Spirit of God knows. And when I'm in the middle of something that I don't quite know which end is up, I can go to him. And I don't care how you do it. I just do it literally sometimes. God, I've got no clue. I'm out of words, and that's a miracle, right? Like, I don't know. What is it, Lord? God, Spirit, I need you to intercede as you've promised. Teach me, open me, show me, right? Work in ways that I don't understand, you know? So important, so encouraging to me to have this God, this Spirit that is fully aware that we can cry out and the Spirit joins with us and cries out. You see, uncertainty is a real experience for all of us. It makes us feel vulnerable, tentative, and we feel like it kind of defines us and makes us, and we've got to be very careful with that. Paul says these are temporary, sort of present sufferings. They're very real, but there's going to be an end to it. There's more. The glory of what God is going to do, restoring us in our world, maybe in this world, in this particular time, but we know ultimately it's going to happen. We're praying for his kingdom to come, his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We don't know exactly when that glory of God, when he's going to show us and restore and do these things, but we can trust him that he will. He will. But until then, we have a God who joins us, who intercedes for us, who engages with us on our behalf. We need to assess our situation. Paul reminds us, you are suffering. There is uncertainty in your life. There is some struggle. But you need to know there's a promise that that's not the end. God is with you. God is working on your behalf. Second, the C. So A, assess your situation, discover where it is, what you control, what you can't control, the things that are going on, where God is and all this, and just how you can move through this knowing that it's not the end, that it doesn't completely define us. There's things that God wants to do. We come to C, which is calculate your assets. And when ever I think of this idea of calculating your assets or sort of discovering what you've got, I think of Princess Bride. I always think of it, they're on the wall, right? You remember? Wesley, Inigo Montoya, and Fezzik. They're on the wall. And they want to storm the castle gates. And Wesley, who's sitting there, he's like out of it, he can barely move his head, all of a sudden goes, okay, what are our assets? What are our liabilities, right? And they have this fun little thing, and Inigo Montoya says, well, we have your brains, and we have Fezzik's strength, and we have my steel. Wesley says, not enough. Maybe if I'd had a month to plan, kind of thing. What are your assets? Calculate it. I use the word calculate because we need to actually slow down, pause, and consider, like to really think about it. Because when we're in certainty, that's a really difficult thing to do. And it's going to take some fortitude, some discipline, some intentionality. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, maybe one of our favorite passages of Scripture, but I think one of our most misunderstood ones as well, is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says there, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." What's being said here? In all things, in uncertain times, God wants to work. God works, it says there, for the good of those who are following Him, who are called according to His purpose, who consider themselves Christians, who are choosing to live and to follow Him. God works for the good of those. In all things, for the good of those. And what's He doing in the midst of all of that? Is He's conforming us into His image. He's developing our character to become more and more like our God. He's growing us. He's giving us courage. Now, here's what's not said. Please hear this. What is not said is all things are good. Do we believe that? Because so quickly we can over-spiritualize things and go, well, God's in control and God's will, right? Like, so it's got to be good. Then why do we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Folks, God's will is not always done. It's not. It's a struggle. Not all things are good. Watch the news. And don't brush this aside. This is huge for your ability to walk with Jesus in the times of uncertainty. See, things are done and they're hard. But you need to understand that not all things are good. Things are done, right? Permanent. No. Things are done. There are some things that are going on. Things are permanent, but they're not permanent, I should say. You are going to continue to grow. God is going to work some good out of that. He can bring some good out of horrific situations. He doesn't say it's done. He actually says He's continuing to work in you. He's present, and He's conforming you to the image of His Son, the character of who our God is. You see, this experience, this act or this event does not define you, nor does it get the final word. Whatever this uncertain situation is. See, God is not finished with you. God doesn't leave you, nor does He abandon you. See, there's hope in the ashes, if you like. There's hope in the uncertainty of life or the despair or maybe the past behaviors or the present behaviors where you're making such chaos of your life by the choices. That does not have to be the end of the story. And God certainly doesn't want it to be. God is not finished with you. Calculate your assets. God is with you. He is with you. He is working in you. T, trust Jesus in it all. Just a little bit further on, again, just some amazing verses that Paul's sharing. He says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. "For I am convinced that neither height nor depth, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. Now listen to this. Your actions, other people's actions, the circumstances of the uncertainty that you are facing right now cannot separate you from the loving presence of our God. You can trust Jesus with that. I mentioned Louis Giglio's book, The Comeback, and you know, trust is not passive. And in it, his little tagline title, if you like, says, "It's not too late, and you're never too far." You are not separated from the love of our God. Trust is not passive. Acting, right? Assessing your situation, discovering, you know, kind of where things are at, what's in your control, what's not in your control, just kind of understanding what's going on, what Jesus wants to do in and through the situation, calculating what's going on, that God is really going to conform you. He's going to work in you. Not all things are good, but he can bring good out of very difficult circumstances, and then we need to trust. So acting and walking with Jesus is just that. It's following. It's obeying. It's growing. It's doing the good things that he is currently calling you to do despite all of the uncertainty. You see, what can so often happen in uncertainty is it paralyzes us. And we're not sure what to do and where to look and how to move. And Paul is saying, I get all of that. I really do. But he's saying you can trust God's goodness, his presence, and his promise. You can trust in who he is and what he's done and what he wants to do in the midst of that uncertainty. And that can bring comfort. In the midst of it all, you can grow. In the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the uncertainty, when we walk with Jesus, when we stay close to him, God can bring good out of very uncertain situations. And God is not going to leave you. He's not never going to forsake. What you're experiencing is not unique just to you. We're all there. I mean, different situations, different scenarios, but we all need it, right? Can you walk with him? Will you allow him to conform you to his image, to grow your character of who you are in the midst of a very difficult situation? Sometimes that looks like just holding on to God for all worth, right? And letting him carry you. Walking with Jesus in times of uncertainty. Paul knew it. I trust you'll know it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the story, for the life of Paul, God. He